morning. As I think you know, I was asked to speak about, do our high schools spend too much time teaching Gemara? Included in that topic, I suppose, is why are we studying Gemara? Why do we spend time? Why do we spend so much time on it? And I have a confession to make at the beginning of the talk that maybe I'm not the right person to speak about this because, and I thank Hashem for this every day, when I was pretty young, I fell in love with Gemara. So maybe I'm not the right guy to speak about this topic. If I'm speaking about something that I fell in love with, it's going to be hard for me to be objective about how much time we spend on it. But I will try my best to present an objective analysis of the discussion. And of course, I'm going to stop, you know, after a few minutes and respond to your questions, because I'd love to hear what you have to say on this topic. Now, I want to say at the outset, I believe very strongly, we know we say every single morning, V'tal Metorah Keneged Kulam. We know, hopefully, you came to NCSY Kola. One of the things that you came here knowing was you know how important Torah study is to the life of a Jew. And I want to stress at the outset, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam isn't just about Gemara. Whatever you learn is great. You learn, somebody likes to learn more halacha, somebody likes to learn more medrash, somebody likes to learn more mishnah, someone likes to learn more chumash, navi, musar. Whatever you want to learn, it's all great. So let's make sure that we get that on the table from the beginning. And different people like to learn different things. And yet, in many of our high schools, despite the fact that all learning is great, all learning is amazing, in many of our high schools, the focus is a little bit more on Gemara. Certainly, you come to NCSY Kollel, so probably the majority of the day, people are learning Gemara more than the other times. One brief word on why we study Torah. Does anybody here know why we study Torah? Why does Judaism put such an emphasis on the study of Torah? Anybody know why do we study Torah?
Anyone?
Yeah.
Do we have to know how to act?
So one possibility is, and there's a Gemara that says that, Gadol Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa. Certainly one reason we study is we know how to act. Now, if we're only studying to know how to act, if that was all it was, then it would probably make sense to study what area of Torah. What area of Torah would make the most sense to study if it was all about how to act?
Halacha.
And yet, most of us spend most of our day not learning halacha. We're learning Gemara. We're learning things that are never going to become relevant for us ever.
Thank you.
They never become relevant. So there's got to be more to it, right? It's not just about how to act. What else is it? David Mayer. Teaches you how to think. We're going to speak about that. There's definitely a piece of it that teaches you how to think. Yes, what do you say? Shrek, yeah? So, that's true. You may have had some tipping off to this idea sometime in the past. Rav Shechter likes to quote from Rashi. There's a Rashi in Chumash and Mishpatim, the same Rashi in Shmuel. There's a pasuk in Shmuel that says, Kasher Yomar Mashal HaKadmoni. The Torah is referred to as a description of Hashem. Rashi says the Torah is a description of Hashem. As Shrek said, it's the Shem Hashem. The whole source of that, you have to make brichas haTorah, is ki Shem Hashem ekra. When a person calls out the name of Hashem, the Maharshal says this means when a person studies Torah, he's calling out the name of Hashem. What does this mean? When you study Torah, you're learning about Hashem. You're learning about Hashem. Torah is Hashem's ideas. It's Hashem's blueprint for the world. And that applies to all of Torah. All of Torah. So one of the main reasons we study Torah is because we want to get close to Hashem. And if you want to get close to Hashem, you have to study that which Hashem spoke, that which Hashem taught. But that applies to all of Torah. What specifically about Gemara? So someone said very beautifully before, someone said, if Chumash is the word of Hashem, Gemara is the thought process of Hashem, the thoughts of Hashem, the analysis, the way Hashem thinks about Torah, the way the rabbis throughout all generations figured out what stands behind the Chumash, or what can we derive from the Chumash. And yet, obviously, if the topic of this talk was, do high schools spend too much time on Gemara? Obviously, there are some people in this room who think, yes, that high schools do spend too much time on Gemara. And what's the biggest problem with the study of Gemara? What's the biggest problem with the study of Gemara? What's the biggest challenge when it comes to it?
It's not practical.
It's not practical. That's one of the things that we discussed. Maybe that's definitely a problem. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. We're trying to say that to learn about the way Hashem thinks, not just the word of Hashem, but the thought process, maybe that could be relevant. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what's the biggest issue with it?
It's difficult.
It's really, really, really hard. And that's why people don't like to do it. Because people don't like to do stuff that's really, really hard. Kind of like AP calculus. We have a Rebbe in Yeshiva who likes to say that studying Gemara, one page of Gemara is harder than the hardest AP course. There's no periods, there's no commas, there's no exclamation points, there's no paragraphs, there's almost nothing. It's so difficult. And one of the reasons why we struggle with Gemara, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zeichet Tzadik Bevracha, the former Rosh Yeshiva of Gush, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein once said, in most high schools, they teach kids just enough Gemara to hate it. Just enough Gemara that they hate it. Because just when, if you teach it just like any other subject, it's so hard, you don't know, you don't know how to read it, you don't know where the question is, where the answer is. They teach you just enough to start to get to know it so that I hate it, because I can't understand it. But I want to tell you a secret about Gemara. Let's contrast for a second learning how to play baseball and learning how to play soccer. Or learning how to play guitar. It's a little bit... I want to ask a question. How many people here would love to know how to play a music? Be honest for a second. How many people here would love to know how to play a musical instrument? How many people would love to know how to play? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like 90% of you. How many people here actually know how to play a musical instrument? So the first answer got me about 60. The second answer gave me 5. Let me ask you a question. If so many of you guys want to know how to play a musical instrument, how come none of you are doing it? You all told me you just want to do it. Why aren't you doing it? Why not?
It's time.
Of course, it really takes a lot of time and effort, and it's hard. And people don't like to do stuff that's hard. I play a couple of musical instruments. I play a couple of instruments. And I hated every second of the lessons that I went through. And my mother said to me, I'm making you do this every Sunday while your friends are watching football. I'm sending you into Manhattan to go to music school. And you have to take lessons. She said, someday you're going to thank me. Now, my mother told me to do a lot of other things and said, someday you're going to thank me. And I didn't thank her for all those other things that she said. But the truth is, this thing that she made me do, I did thank her for. Let's take soccer versus baseball for a second. Which sport is easier to learn how to play? Soccer or baseball?
Soccer.
It's almost unanimous. You kick the ball into the net. Who can't kick the ball into the net? You play soccer, you kick the... Anybody can join a game and you just tell them, listen, you're kicking that way. Try to kick it into the net that way. The other guys are kicking it that way. It's not so complicated. It's easy to learn how to play soccer in a basic level. To be really, really, really good at soccer, I have one child who's a very, very, very good soccer player. To be really good at soccer takes a lot of hours. Baseball is the opposite. To just learn how to play the game from the beginning, just to get on the field, to hold the glove the right way, to catch the ball, to hit, the ball's coming at you and you gotta hit the ball, it's very, very hard. But once you get the hang of it, it's easier to become great at it. Gemara is a lot more like playing guitar. It's a lot more like baseball than it is like soccer. Just to get to first base in the Gemara is very, very, very difficult. And one of the reasons that our high schools spend a lot of time learning Gemara, this is not the only reason. We'll speak about this is not even the main reason. We'll get to the main reason in a minute. But one of the reasons our schools spend so much time on Gemara is because it's so hard. So to get to understand anything about it takes so much energy and effort. It's so difficult to just get to first base in Gemara. You got to develop a vocabulary, then you got to figure out where the line starts and where it ends and where the question marks. It's so complicated. But once you get the hang of it, I remember the day that my guitar teacher taught me how to play bar chords. Just to play a guitar, to know where to put your fingers, to play one chord, it's so hard. It's hard against your fingers. It's so difficult. But then you get the hang of it. He taught me in one day, once you know how to play bar chords, F, G, A, B, C, go up. All of a sudden, you know one chord, you know 30 chords. All of a sudden, you fly with it. And that's the way the Gemara works also. The more you know, the better you get at it. It's so hard at the beginning, but once it clicks, and once you get that feeling, it becomes so much, so much, so much more easy. But let's just analyze. This is going to be the main point that I want to stress with you tonight, then I want to open it up to hear what you have to say about this. Why is Gemara so important? What's so important about Gemara? And I would ask the question in the reverse. Chumash is actually the words of Hashem. Gemara is the words of the rabbis from many, many generations. Well, if you had the choice to study the words of Hashem himself versus the words of the rabbis, isn't it more important to study the words of Hashem himself than to study the words of rabbis? So why all this time in Gemara? Why all this emphasis? Does anyone here have a suggestion? Yitzchak Isaac, what do you say?
Maybe because we're like not on the level to be able to just interpret the Torah by ourselves, so we need like a moron and Tana to like teach it to us, not to help us understand.
Beautiful, very nice. My only question about that is, you seem to be indicating that studying Gemara is making it easier for us to understand. I think if we would ask the people in this room which is easier to understand, Chumash or Gemara, I think most people probably would say Chumash is like, Chumash is written in Hebrew, Gemara is written in Aramaic. Daniel, Simcha, what do you say? Oh, so some say like that, Tosis says like that in a few places in Shas, that really a person is supposed to learn Chumash and Halacha and Gemara, so Gemara includes all of them. Chumash and Halacha Gemara, beautiful, there's a Tosis like that. But there's something more. Let me share with you an amazing Gemara Maseches Gittin, and the only piece of Torah that I really want to share with you tonight is an amazing comment of the Beis HaLevi. And I want to just elaborate on this one Beis HaLevi a little bit more, and then we're going to open it up to you and see what you have to say about this. The Gemara teaches us in Maseches Gittin on Daf Samach. There's a pasuk in Parshas Kisisa. After the second Luchos, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, write down Torah Shebichsav. That's the way Rashi, based on the Medrash, understands it. Ki al pi advar ma'ela karati incha bris v'es Yisrael. Because it's specifically through Torah Shebaal Peh, through Mishnah, through Gemara, that is the special covenant that Hashem enters in with the Jewish people is specifically on the Torah Sheba'al Peh and not the Torah Sheba'chsav. And says the Gemara in Gittin, Rabbi Yochanan says, in Gittin Daf Samach, says Rabbi Yochanan, based on this pasuk, Lo karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris im Yisrael ela bishvil devarim Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh is the special gift that Hashem had for the Jewish people, and it's the special covenant, it's the special avenue that Hashem says you can connect to me specifically through Torah Sheba'al Peh in a way that's more than Torah Sheba'al Peh. Again, whatever you learn is great, but the Gemara in Gittin says Torah Sheba'al Peh is the special unique gift. And just to make a long story short on that Gemara, the Gemara there and Rashi and the Mefarshim explain, Torah Sheba'al Peh was originally not supposed to be what? Torah Sheba'al Peh was originally not supposed to be written down. Why not? Chumash can be written. Why was Gemara supposed to not be written down? Why not? Just to make life miserable for us, we're going to memorize the whole Shas, and memorize the whole Kiddushin, the whole Bava Kama. Why not? You know what the answer is? Nobody knows? Anybody know? Why not? Excellent. The Gemara there quotes a pasuk. Echtov lo rube torasi kamozar nechshavu. Whatever's written down, it's possible for the non-Jews to steal. And it's exactly what happened to the Torah. There's the Old Testament, and there's the
New
Testament. Because since the five books of Moses written down, the non-Jews said, we're going to take it and we're going to make our own. We've never found a new Gemara yet. There's no new Talmud. The non-Jews didn't take the Gemara and write it down. You know why? Because the Torah for many years was by heart with Baal Peh. It was so difficult to learn. And even when they wrote it down, they didn't write it down in the normal way. They didn't write it down with periods and commas and exclamation points and question marks. You know why? Because they wanted us to work hard at it, that you'd have to really go to a Rebbe to learn. You'd have to get it transmitted orally. You'd have to have somebody to teach you. So it should remain the unique, special gift and bond between God and the Jewish people. Gemara, Mishnah, Torah Sheba'al Peh is the unique, special gift that's only for the Jewish people. Chumash was already stolen. The Old Testament is the New Testament. It was out there. Once it's in print, once it's out there, anybody can take it and do what they want with it. But Gemara is the special, unique gift between. And we heard before, Gemara is the thought process of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If Chumash is the word of Hashem, Gemara is the thought process, the analysis. And David Meir said something else very beautiful before. Because it's oral, and even when it was written down, it doesn't have periods and commas and exclamation points. You don't know where to start and stop, and it's so complicated and it's so difficult. The harder you have to work for it, the more you search and work, and the more it becomes a part of you. The harder you have to work for the learning. Somebody once asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Talmud Yerushalmi, it's all straightforward. It's this Shita and that Shita, but the Talmud Bavli, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Chavdalet, it's darkness. B'machshakamu Shivani, Ze Talmido Shel Bavel. Talmud Bavli, they're saying, this rabbi yelled at this rabbi, and he asked Maskefla Rabbi Yochanan, and told you about this one asked, and this one yelled and screamed. It's all darkness. So why do we paskin like the Talmud Bavli, not the Talmud Yerushalmi? So Lubavitcher Rebbe said like this, you know, when you go into a room that's fully lit up, so you can see everything, it's easy for you to see. You don't have to search for anything, you don't have to work. You take it for granted. But if you go into a dark room and you have to look for something, you really have to spend time, you have to look, you have to take a flashlight. You ever wonder why during B'dikas Chametz we shut the lights and use a candle? When you shut the lights, you got to find the Chametz. Leave the lights on. Wouldn't it be better to find the Chametz if the lights were on? You know what the answer is then why we shut the lights? Because if you have to search for something, you're going to work harder to look for it. You're going to look at every single nook and cranny. If the lights are on, you're going to assume you see everything. Gemara is difficult because the harder you work at it, you have to work to try to figure it out. It's going to stick with you longer. Because whatever you put effort and energy in means more to you. When I was growing up, people used to make model airplanes. I'm sorry to date myself. People used to make model airplanes. Anybody, you know what a model airplane is? When I was growing up, people would take like 1,000 pieces and you have to weld every little piece together. And you would spend hours putting together this model airplane. And then you finish the product. Oh my gosh, I put all my blood, sweat, and tears into this. Or you ever do a 1,000-piece puzzle, a 10,000-piece puzzle? You sit there and you're putting every piece in and then you finish. Oh man, you have such a great feeling. I put together a 10,000-piece puzzle. The more effort and energy you put into something, the more it sticks with you, the more you appreciate it. People love and appreciate that which they have to put a lot of effort into. So why is Gemara the special gift, the special unique relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people? It's Hashem's thought process. It's not just His word, but it's His thought process. It's involved. We have to debate. We have to ask. We don't know where the periods are. We don't know where the exclamation points are. We have to work hard to figure it out. So that will become something special and unique to the Jewish people. And it's something that we will always feel specially connected to. And this is why I fell in love with Gemara. Because the harder you work at it, the more special it becomes to you. And just one word from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik explained, I don't want to go into his whole piece of Torah because I want to hear from you. Beautiful, beautiful, long piece of Torah. But the bottom line of Rav Soloveitchik's words about Torah Shebaal Peh. Gentlemen, where is the cloth of the Torah Shebichsav? Where is the parchment that the Torah Shebichsav is written on? Where is it? It's right over here. In here is the parchment of the Torah Shebichsav. It's in the Aron Kodesh. You can see it. It's right there. Said Rav Soloveitchik, where is the parchment of the Torah Shebaal Peh? Where is the Torah Shebaal Peh written? Where's the cloth? Where's it written? Who knows? Who knows? Where's the Torah Shebaal Peh? Where is it? Excellent. It's on the hearts and minds of the Jewish people. Said Rav Soloveitchik, the reason why we have a Torah Shebaal Peh is because Hashem wanted you and me to become a Sefer Torah. That's a Sefer Torah Shebichsav. But when I learned Gemara, oral Torah, which there's no, it's not in any book. We wrote it down because we were forgetting everything they wrote it in the Gemara. But it's supposed to be me and you. We're supposed to fill ourselves up with the Torah itself. We became Guf and Kedusha. When the Torah Shebaal Peh became written on ourselves.
And the Beis Halevi, just in closing, talks about how beautiful, beautiful comment of the Beis Halevi where he explains on the Pasuk Yishakeni min Shikos Piyu that when it comes to the secrets of Torah, the mysteries of Torah, Shebaal Peh HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives those over to us. He quotes the Gemara in Tamid, HaYoshev V'Shoneh, a person who sits and learns, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev V'Shoneh Kenegdo. Hashem is the one who gives you that learning. So my promise to you is, if you put effort and energy into Gemara, Hashem will kiss you. Yishakeni minishikos pihu. His mouth to your mouth, He will feed it to you. You will join that special covenant, that conversation of generations that began so many years ago with the Tanaim and the Amoraim. And we have that chance to join that conversation every single day. What a tremendous gift and privilege it is. So let me hear a little bit from you guys. What are the struggles? Do you think that schools spend too much time learning Gemara? Do you have any questions about why we study Gemara? What do you have to say? Any reaction to the words that I said? I'm going to close with one story, but I want to hear what you guys have to say. Just, what's your name?
Israel
what?
Skirtovsky.
Israel?
Skirtovsky.
Go ahead, Israel.
I once heard in Ishir that the fulfillment of Gemara, of Talmud Torah, is only with the Eved insofar as it includes Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh, and analysis, which is what Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah when he says that one should rather distinguish with three distinct parts of Talmud Torah. I understand, of course, as a machlokas rishonim about there being three equal parts, but as far as I know, the Tefillah, there should be three distinct parts, even if they're not completely equal. Is that so,
right? You said it. I think what you said is correct. There is a difference of opinion in the Rishonim, whether or not you're Yotze, the Mitzvah Lechatchila, of splitting up your time, one-third Chumash, one-third Mishnah. Then the Rambam, I think, writes that's only in the beginning. But after you've mastered the basics of those three, then you should spend all your time learning Gemara. The Rambam seems to say that. But that's an interesting question. How should a person do it? Certainly, again, I think a person should learn all of them. You should learn Chumash. You should learn, but I think one of the reasons why the schools place more emphasis on Gemara is it's harder, and it's the special, unique Ikar Krisus Bris, which it's more of a cultural experience. It's not just studying Torah per se, but you get the whole feel of how the rabbis acted, how they spoke, how they interacted. So it's more of a culture. You get the feeling of the whole culture. Anyone else? Other questions, observations, ha'aras? Yes, F.
Why is it that if Gemara is supposed to become part of us, we're supposed to have a shlita over it, why do schools not place enough emphasis on Chazara, programs like Maharavna?
Review. I think Chazara review is very important. I think probably the reason why schools don't place so much emphasis on it is because it's boring. And people always want to be learning new things. People don't like to review, but you're 100% right. That's one of the reasons why this Vaharevna program is so, in our yeshiva, it's wildly successful. The kids who do it love it, and they really acquire the learning. It makes it, when you review, so you really know it better, and it becomes much more a part of you. I agree with you. And I think there's a lot to be said for reviewing, and we don't put enough emphasis on it. I agree with you. I think we should put more emphasis on it. Yeah.
Well,
remind me of your name, I'm sorry.
Yoni.
Yoni what?
Myers.
Go ahead.
Another struggle with Gemara is that a lot of the stuff isn't so practical. you'll learn stuff about what different words mean and stuff like that, but how are you supposed to apply that?
So the point we made before. So I want to address that for a moment about Gemara not being practical. I heard this also, Rabbi Schechter also. See, that goes back to what we spoke about before. We're not learning Gemara to learn what to do. To learn what to do, we learn halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, or the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch, or the Aruch HaShulchan, whatever you're going to learn. We learn Gemara for a different reason. Rabbi Schechter, I once heard Rabbi Schechter speak on this topic. He came to the yeshiva I was studying in Eretz Yisrael, he came to speak for Shabbat, and he spoke about this. He said, the Gemara says that a Ben Sorer Amora never happened. One opinion of the Gemara says, Ben Sorer Amora, lo haya v'lo nivra, it never happened. Well, you guys know what a Ben Sorer Amora is, the rebellious son. The Torah talks about the rebellious son. So the Gemara says, one opinion says, it never happened. Well, if it never happened, what in the blaze is it doing in the Torah for? So what does the Gemara say? What does the Gemara say? Drosh v'kabel schar. Drosh v'kabel schar. Learn it and you get reward for it. So Hashem just put these random things that have absolutely nothing to do with the world in the Torah, just so we should learn them and get reward. What does that mean? Rav Schechter said beautifully, and this is right in line of what he said when we start off the shiurs. We learn Torah to connect to Hashem. We learn Torah to find out what's kiviyachol going on in Hashem's mind. What's Hashem's thought process? Who is he? Yisrael v'oraisa v'kudjubichu chadu. The Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. The Torah is a description of Elokus. As Rav Schechter says, it's a description of a description. You can't really describe God. The Torah is like a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. It's a description of a description of a description. It's some form. So there's some element of Hashem's wisdom called Ben Sorer Amora. It's irrelevant whether there's going to ever be a Ben Sorer Amora in the world. Now, it's irrelevant. It's Hashem's wisdom. Whether or not it actually will come out lamais in this world, there are concepts, there are Torah concepts that we need to learn from Ben Sorer Amora that may not apply to the actual Ben Sorer Amora. I don't know, maybe it has to do with how a parent is supposed to treat a child, or there are things we can learn out of it. Drosh v'kavosar, it's Torah, it's Hashem's wisdom. Whether it's actually going to end up happening ever or not is irrelevant. We learn Torah because it's connecting to Hashem, not because we learn halacha to know what to do. But we learn Gemara because we want to understand Hashem's wisdom. Anyone else? Yes?
Why
What is more
remind me of your name again. I know you just oh, got me.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is more important, to cover more ground and learn more, or to like just go for like 1.5 hours to understand everything and to understand 100%?
It's an awesome, awesome question. Great question. So the first answer is, some people like to learn quicker. Some people like to learn more. But Ian, Ravina Lichtenstein once very, very sharply said that the difference between learning Bikias and learning Bi'in is understanding. That was what Ravaran said. Again, I think, you know, so I think even Ravaran would agree that some people learn very slowly and some people learn not as slowly. So I think it depends on a person's personal nitya. I mean, I tend to be a person who learns more quickly. I don't have necessarily the patience to sit and stay on the same line for hours and hours and hours. That's my nature. Other people love to learn more, right? There are certain yeshivas that are known for they're still learning the first word of the Masechta by Hanukkah time. The year starts in El by Hanukkah, they still haven't gotten out of the box yet. They're still learning they're still learning the first word. You could learn like the whole, like spend 3 months on the first word. So I think it depends on a person's nature. Again, all learning is great. You want to learn slow, you want to learn fast, it's all great, but a person has to know his own nature. A person should try to learn as deeply as possible to understand as deeply as he can. But if you're getting sick of the same subject, it's time to move on to the next one. You know? So I think if a person wants to spend all his time learning very deeply and understand one thing, that's fine, as long as he's actually accomplishing and learning more and new ideas and insights. So that's okay too. Mordechai Tzvi.
How does Rebbe feel about using the Masechta in art school and like the initial process of being exposed to Gemara or learning how to read more?
So my Rebbe, Rabbi Schechter, somebody once asked him about Kahati. So he said, I think I just moved this. I think this thing stopped. I apologize. One of these things stopped here. I didn't mean to touch it. But whatever, I thought it would keep recording. But anyway, maybe the other one's recording. So, as I think you know, Mordechai Tzvi, about my opinion about this, so I think that if there are tools out there that are going to help you learn the Gemara better, then you should use those tools. The reason why Hashem placed those tools. Now, again, you are limited if you use an art scroll or a Masechta, but that's going to be your whole learning. So then you're going to be limited because you're not going to be able to learn it more deeply. You're going to rely on that. So I like what you said. At the beginning, just to get the basic explanation, those are good tools. But then if you want to learn it more in depth and you want to learn it more deeply, then you should try to wean yourself off of those things. Yes, Daniel Simcha. So Daniel is saying that the yeshivas have to do a better job of giving respect to those people who are sitting and learning. We should put them more on a pedestal. It's a very good hara. It's a very good hara. We should show respect for those people who are sitting and learning. Yes.
The Mishnah Pirkei Avos gives us a way of teaching, meaning he gave us the model of how we're supposed to teach kids. So why do we have to, and it says you have to learn a Chumash and Mishnah, you have to actually know those things. I'm not saying you should know them perfectly, but I feel like we start learning teaching Gemara in sixth grade, and people that we're teaching Gemara to kids who don't know anything of Chumash or Mishnah. So how are we able to just start learning something really complicated if we don't know the basics?
That's a great question. You're not the first person to ask that question. A lot of people are asking that question. I think there is a yeshiva system in Israel. I think the Zilberman's model in Israel, they really make sure you know all of Chumash before they open the Mishnah. You know, they go through the whole thing. The only thing I could say in the other direction is that the current generation finds like sitting and learning so difficult. You know, the Mishnah was talking to a society that would spend a lot more time doing it. I hear what you're saying. I wonder, and there are some people who suggest, Rav Schechter, I remember one time they were asking Rav Schechter about girls learning Gemara. So Rav Schechter's response about girls learning Gemara was that
we already messed up the boys' education so badly, why do you want to mess up the girls' education also? Now, the girls do it the right way. They learn Chumash a lot, and then when they're finished learning Chumash, then if they want to learn Mishnah, they want to learn Gemara, then that's okay. But why would we mess up the girls' education like we already messed up the boys' education? None of the boys know Chumash, they don't know Navi, they don't know anything in Tanakh, they just know Gemara. So why would we mess up? So that's a very good question. I think it is. Again, I didn't want to. Again, I did happen to fall in love, and I happen to not know Navi so well. So I'm eschat ayani maskir ayom. I'm being open about the fact that I personally, again, Chumash. I did study. I did study a significant amount of Chumash. But it's a good question. It doesn't have a great answer. So I think in principle you're right that we should spend in the earlier years much more time on Chumash and not run to Gemara so quickly. Although on the other hand, I could tell you that if nowadays, if a kid doesn't know the basics of Gemara by the time he gets into ninth grade, it's going to be very hard to just teach him everything from the beginning. That's my gut feeling. I could be wrong about that, and you might be right, I might be wrong, but that's the gut feeling I have. But I think the question is better than the answer. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Last point? Someone? I'm sorry. Go ahead. What's your name?
Yosef Mazur. So how does one actually acquire love? How do you know that you really are falling in love with
one? Good, you set me up for my last story. Let me give you my last story. The question was, how do you fall in love? So I'll give you an answer, but you reminded me to tell my story. For my 25th anniversary, my wife and I took a trip to the Canadian Rockies. The Canadian Rockies is the most beautiful place on earth outside of the land of Israel. Gorgeous mountains, gorgeous rivers, gorgeous, it's gorgeous, Banff. Anybody ever been there? You've been to the Canadian Rockies? It's beautiful. Very expensive trip. I negotiated to be a scholar in residence on one of these kosher, whatever it was. We got there, and you go there, and you see all these tourists from all over the world. You see all these Asians and Chinese people and Indians and people from Africa, Italy, France, all over the world. You see, because it's the most beautiful place. Everyone wants to go see the Canadian Rockies. Everywhere you go, it's like flooded with people all over the world. And after a few days, we went for like 4 or 5 days. And I turned to my wife after like 3 or 4 days of this, and I said to her, you know, I get it. It's so beautiful, the Canadian Rockies. It's so beautiful. And I get it why all these people from all over the world are coming to see it. It's gorgeous. It's so beautiful to see. I got to tell you, I said to my wife, she's right out there. I said, I don't need to go to the Canadian Rockies to go on vacation. I can go to Uvamis. And then I go to Bava Kamma. And then I go to Brachas. And then I go to Rosh Hashanah. And everything's a whole new world. It's a whole new exciting world for me. You know, listen to the ideas of this Masechta, and then Ksumas is a different Masechta. And the Bavas and Sanhedrin is a whole new world. And it's like there's one Rebbe in one of the yeshivas who says, I love Nushim. And the Zikin, and Kachim, and Taros. I love all of it. We love all of it. So I didn't answer your question. How do you fall in love with it? So the answer is one thing. Malcolm Gladwell. Raise your hand if you ever heard of Malcolm Gladwell. You heard of him? Some guys heard of him. Malcolm Gladwell said a big yisod. You ever want to get good at something? All it takes is one thing. What does it take? 10,000 hours. You want to get good at something? It's very simple. You can get good at anything. You can play guitar, play baseball, play soccer. Want to get good at anything? 10,000 hours. People don't like stuff that they can't do. They don't like stuff that's hard. The way you fall in love, you know this is Hashem's thought process, Hashem, just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And I promise you, you'll have Hashem whispering into your ear, keep doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. You'll get better and better and better. And the better you get at it, the sweeter it becomes. The better you get at it, the more you enjoy it, because people don't like to do stuff that's hard. So keep doing it, and hopefully you'll enjoy it more. Gentlemen, thank you very much for listening, and we should have a great summer of getting great at learning. Yours, I think, stay on.
That one shut off. I don't know why it stopped. All right.